My name is Alan Morse, and we're going to start in Galatians, and in the verse-by-verse study, we're in chapter 6, the final chapter of this letter that Paul wrote to the Galatians. And I really think that this is going to be it's been a good book for me. I've really enjoyed it, and I hope you have too. And there's a tremendous amount of knowledge to be gotten from this book of Galatians. So let's just start in chapter 6. It starts off in verse 1. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, and consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And what he's trying to say is we're dealing with, we have our own group of people we're dealing with that are truly believers. And if we find one that has a problem, we should be there to help them, to help restore them back to the way they should walk with the Lord. See, the Lord's in them also, see. And he wants us to work with them. But we got to be careful that we wouldn't be tempted also. Because Satan is out there constantly trying to cause us problems. There's no doubt about that. "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." In other words, we got to be a part of those people that are in the church, you know, in our churches, that believe the gospel. We have to deal with them and walk with them and help them. "For if a man think of himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in others." You see, "for every man shall bear his own burden." See, it's up to us. But we're not alone, see. We've got the Lord living in us. We've got Christ in us. And he's the one that guides us, and he's the one that directs us, and he's the one that'll help us in our everyday walk. And all we got to do is follow the leader. We got to follow him. When he tells us to do something, we do it. He tells us no, we don't do it. You know, and he does. I mean, he's just with you every day, and you're with him, and it's just wonderful. And I find that he talks with me constantly, but he does it through his word. And so what it means, folks, you need to get in the word, and you can now, see. Before, I couldn't study the Bible until I became a believer, until I believed the gospel, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he opened my eyes up, and boom, I can spend hours and hours in studying the Bible, and I love every second of it. You see, before I couldn't. It's in verses 6. It said, "Let that is taught in the word share with him that teacheth in all good things. Let him that is taught in the word share with him that teacheth in all good things." It says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, he shall reap." You see. You see, what people don't understand, the churches today, they tell us that we all should tithe our money, because that's what it says in Malachi. Well, Malachi has nothing to do with the church. You see, that's the law. See, we're not involved in the law, but we're different. You see, we know better. We got God living in us. When God tells us, he'll tell us what we should give, and we'll do it, and we'll do it because we want to. Because if you've got a church that's preaching the gospel, and people's lives are being changed because of it, I mean, your whole priorities in life is not going to be having a new boat. It's not going to have four cars or three or whatever. It's not having the biggest house in the block. Your priority is to promote the gospel. And that's what you're going to be doing. And you don't need anybody to tell you how much, because God's in there living with you, and he will tell you how much. And you'll follow his lead because you want to. He's your Savior. He loves you more than anything in the world. He knows what's best for you. So, you know, the churches don't have a clue, you see. They're dependent on legalism for their money. And that's why they got problems, you see. If they were dependent on the Holy Spirit, they wouldn't have any problems. And if they taught the gospel where every one of their people is filled with the Holy Spirit, finances would not be a problem. But they don't understand that. See, they don't know anything about the Holy Spirit because they don't preach the gospel. All the churches I was in, you're just preaching, believing in Jesus. That's not the gospel, you see. That's not the gospel. Verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall his flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth unto the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. See, we'll be sowing to the Spirit of God because he lives in us. See, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In other words, we continue to do what we can do, but it's not us doing it. It's God working through us. And he gets the glory. And we'll get the rewards in heaven. Now, if we take the rewards and the glory here, we won't have any rewards in heaven. You see, it'll all burn up. He says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. You see, that's who we deal with, the people who are, especially to the fellow believers. See, you see how large a letter I write unto you with my own hand? As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that you may glory in they may glory in your flesh. See. Another law. They keep adding things. This is the Jews are trying to add things to the church, and you can't do it. It can't be done. We just saw that. Then it says, "But God forbid that I should glory, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, that's the only thing I look to. It's what he did for me. It's the cross. You see, my faith is in the cross. My faith is in Christ who died for my sins. That's where my faith is at. You see, it's in what he did is what saved me. It's not his name. It's what he did to save me, by whom the world is crucified unto me, you see, and I unto the world. See, that this whole world doesn't mean anything to me. And as far as I'm concerned, it's Christ that lives in me that counts. And I want to do his, if I want to follow him and point me the way he wants me to go, you see. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything or uncircumcision, but a new creation. See, that's what we are, a new creature, a new creation. For 2 Corinthians 5:17, you know, it says we become a new creature, new creation. Old things have passed away. And all things become new. When you can say that, you know you're saved. That means the Holy Spirit is in you, and he's going to make all the difference in the world. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy and upon the Israel of God. Henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear the body of the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, with your spirit. Amen. I just, you know, this has been a wonderful, wonderful book. We've got a few minutes left, and I think I'm going to ramble a little bit, but I want to first go back to just the beginning of Galatians and show you the important verses that you really want to know. You want to memorize where these are at. And the one that I like to make sure that you people know is, turn to Galatians chapter 1, verses 8. And this is the one that just blows my mind, and I see that, and it just scares me to death. But we got to memorize this. It says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let them be accursed. You see, this gospel is tremendously important that I'm proclaiming. Because if you're a pastor and you're preaching any other gospel than what Paul preached for salvation, you know, you're accursed. It says that. And verse 9 says it. As we say before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached, let him be accursed. This is something that, you know, it's scary. But you see, the majority of the churches don't preach the gospel for salvation. You see, the churches I've never preached it. Never preached it. And even the ones that say, well, they do, but they do, but they don't. You know, you can, they'll tell you, well, yeah, we preach the gospel. But when it gets down, when they write in their books or in their front, tell them about what they truly believe, when it comes down to salvation, they believe that you should take Jesus as your Savior. That's not the gospel, you see. That's not the gospel. No one is in heaven because they took Jesus as a Savior. You're only going to be there by believing the gospel. And this is what Paul preached. And if you preach anything other than that, you're accursed. And they've got a problem. A big problem. Now, I always like to say, where does he get this gospel? Where did he get the gospel? Now, of course, we know the gospel is that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. Where did he get this gospel? And you've got to have this memorized. You've got to be able to take your friends through this. This is where Paul got this gospel. It says, look at verses 11. Galatians chapter 1, verses 11. It says, I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not after man, neither was I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. This gospel that I preach, and this gospel that Paul preached, he didn't get it from man. He got it directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the one who pointed to his death, burial, and resurrection for salvation. See, you believe that, you're saved. And Jesus is the one that told Paul to preach the gospel. Now, I went through this. You can go back in some of my teachings. And I went through it. Where it said the gospel and all these different epistles, and there's over 60 times where he used the gospel and pointed to the gospel, but there was almost 30 times where he alluded to it. And what do you mean by alluded to it? Well, I guess we're right here at Galatians. Let me show you what I call, what you heard me say this many times, but I'm going to continue to say it. This is how he alludes to it, the gospel. He said in verse 13, it says, well, 12, it says, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, Ephesians 1, 13, 12. And then it says, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. You see, the word of truth. When Paul says the word of truth, he's talking about the gospel. Look what it says, the word of truth, the gospel. He's also talking about your salvation, the gospel of your salvation, you see. This is a fantastic, and whom also after you believe what? This word of truth, this gospel of your salvation. What happened? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. See, that's when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And if you don't have that Holy Spirit, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're none of His. And I'll show you that exactly. We've been there before, but it doesn't hurt to go over things again. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Look at verses 9. It says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you don't have the Holy Spirit living in you, you're not saved. It's just that simple. You're none of his. And that's why it's so important to believe the gospel, because that's when you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. See, only there. You don't get it by praying for it. You don't get it from walking the aisle from it. For it. You don't get it from confessing your sins. You don't get it only by believing the gospel for your salvation. See, for your salvation. While we're in Romans, we have another verse that is tremendously important for you to know, so that you can tell people about the Lord and show them these things. How important is this gospel? How important is it? Look what it says in Romans chapter 1, verses 16. Romans chapter 1, verses 16, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, what's it? The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. You see what it said? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. This gospel that Paul preached, the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for those that believe. Believe what? The gospel. It didn't say believe and be baptized. It didn't say believe and join a church. It didn't say believe in speaking in tongues. It didn't say believe in praying to Mary. It said just believe the gospel. And what's the gospel? That Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. These are the things you really, really want to know and be able to find. While you're here in Romans, right here close, look at chapter 2. Look at chapter 2 and look at verses 16. Look what it said. This one here will knock your socks off. It says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. When is that? That's the great white throne judgment. That's the only place where God judges the secrets of man's minds through Jesus Christ. The great white throne judgment. And that's when all the unbelievers, the ones that have been died or in hell, they're going to come out of hell. The ones that are alive, when this happens, they will still all go and stand in this long line, which may be millions of people. And they're going to stand in that line, and then they're going to be judged. It's a great white throne judgment. And they're not going to be saying, I'm sorry. You're going to be judged, and you're going to be going directly to the lake of fire. You can read that in Revelations, chapter 20. But anyway, what are they going to be judged by? Paul's gospel. Did they believe that Christ died for their sins and was buried and rose from the dead? How many church members do you know that don't believe the gospel? They're going to be standing in that line. And they'll say, well, I believe in Jesus as my Savior. No, that isn't it. That's not salvation. That's not salvation. Well, I believed in Jesus, and that's not salvation. There's going to be a scroll up there, I believe, and it's going to be rolled down. It's going to say the gospel, that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. And then it's going to say, you believe that for your salvation, you see. And the reason why they're going to hell, was it because, or to the lake of fire, is not going to be because of what they've done wrong. It's going to be because they didn't believe the gospel. They didn't believe the gospel for their salvation. And that's all that Paul pointed to, was the gospel for their salvation. Let's turn to Timothy. 2 Timothy. Go back to the right. Go back to the right and back to the latter part of his epistles. 2 Timothy. And let's look at chapter 1. And we'll start on verses 8. It says, be thou therefore not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me, his prisoner. Obviously, he was in prison. This is his last time that he was in prison, because they killed him. They killed him in this prison time. His prisoner. But be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel. Of the gospel according to the power of God. Where did we hear the power of God? We just heard that, didn't we? We're not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation, see, for those that believe. Who has saved us and has called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. See, we're not saved according to our works, but according to what? His own purpose and grace, which he has given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but it is not, but is now manifested by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality in light through what? The gospel. Through his death on the cross. See? Through the gospel. Unto whom I am appointed to preach, what? The gospel, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. See, he was appointed as to preach this gospel, as an apostle, and a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Well, I'm telling you now that I have been appointed as a teacher to the Gentiles, and to teacher of this gospel to the Gentiles. God did. I didn't do it. God pointed me to this through the Holy Spirit. Look in verse chapter 2 and look at this. This is something that most people don't understand, and I saw this, and it was brought to me by a man by the name of Les Feldick, who taught me the gospel. It says, thou therefore, my son, he's talking to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and that the things that thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. What has he heard from many witnesses? The preaching of the gospel, of course. But he said, now commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. You see, God, clear back when Paul was there, he realized, the Holy Spirit realized, that the pastors of the churches today aren't going to be teaching the gospel. And he committed it. He told Timothy to commit them to faithful men. He just got done establishing a church, and he had pastors, and he had pastors and teachers, you know, in the churches. But you see, they weren't doing the job. So he had to go to faithful men that shall be able to teach others also. And that's my friend Les Feldick, the one who actually presented the gospel to me. And he has gone that, and he's not a pastor or a preacher. He's just a teacher, and he's a cattleman. He raises cattle for a living, you see. But anyway, he went to faithful men. Now look what this is all about on faithful men. Look down here on 24, verse 24. It says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. See, that's the teacher. That's what I have to do. I must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose him. Do I have people oppose me when I tell them they have to believe the gospel for their salvation? I hope to tell you. I hope to tell you. But look what he says. If God, perhaps, will give them, those people that oppose me, repentance to the knowledge of the truth. What's the knowledge of truth? What do I keep telling you? What's the knowledge of the truth? It's the gospel, see. They have repentance to the knowledge of the gospel, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. See, these people that believe in Jesus for their salvation, you see, God wants them to come to repentance to the knowledge of the truth, the gospel, and that they would come recover themselves out of the snare of the devil that has taken captive of them by his will, you see, by his will. And then I go over here to Titus, and we can see how are we supposed to present this. Look at verses 10, chapter 3 in Titus, the next letter over. It says, a man that is a heretic. That's a person that doesn't believe the gospel. He's a heretic. He's teaching other than the gospel. After the first and second admonishment, he says, reject, knowing that he that is in such is subverted and sinneth and being condemned of himself, because he wouldn't believe the gospel. But he says, tell him once and tell him twice. But after that, you've got to go on, see. You've got to go on. There's so many people out there that don't know the gospel. You've got to go on, because, see, I'm looking for the people that have been called. Let me show you that. We've just got a few minutes. Just turn back to Ephesians. To Ephesians. This is what these are the people that I'm trying to get. And you may be one of them. I hope so. You can hope you understand. Just look at here at verses 4. It says, accordingly, as he hath chosen us in him, this is God, has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. How can we be holy and without blame before God in love? How can that happen? By the cross, you see. By the cross. When Jesus died on that cross, he paid for our sin and what's left. We can be holy and without blame before God because of what Jesus did on that cross, see. But you see what happened? He has, as said before, he had chosen us before the foundation of the world. You see, there's people out there today that God has chosen before the foundation of the world that they haven't heard the gospel. They've been in church all their life, and they haven't heard it. And that's why he's calling, because the preachers aren't teaching it. But there's people out there that are chosen. They're saved and they don't even know it. And I was one of them. I didn't even know it, see, that God had chosen me until I was almost 70 years old. You see, I believed in Jesus as my Savior, but I didn't have the Holy Spirit. But he had already called me, and he had to get the gospel to me. It's up to him because he called me, see. And that's why he sent me to Les Feldick, and he gave it to me, see. He couldn't have let me die. I could not have died before he got me the gospel. It would have been impossible. And when I look back at the times that I just almost got killed in my life, from cancer to horrible wrecks, you know, and chances of being killed in Vietnam, you know, it's just beyond your imagination, see. Why I made it, you see. But God couldn't let me die until he gave me the gospel. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. I'm after the people who have been chosen. And when they hear this gospel one time, they're going to believe it because they were chosen, just like I'd believed it, you see, because I've been chosen. And that's who I'm after, see. I'm not after just everybody. I'm after the person that had been chosen, because no one's going to be saved unless they're chosen, see. God's got to open your mind before you can believe the gospel, see. And he only does that to the people he chose. He knows every person on this earth, from Adam all the way to the last person on earth who's going to be in eternity with him. He knew it before this world begun. He knew their name, rank, and serial number. It's wonderful what God has done and has for us. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this time that we can teach your word. Thank you for this gospel that you give to us. Thank you for these words that we've been studying. And I thank you for every person that is listening. And I pray that I have got this gospel to some of these people that have been chosen now. They've been chosen, and now they've received this gospel, and now they can be a part of the body of Christ. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.